Russia shifts gears on Syria, and Serbia's prime minister heads to Moscow. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. Joining me in the studio is Pavel Butorin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome back, Pavel.
It's great to be back.
Great to have you back. So it looks like Russia is indeed shifting gears in Syria to the diplomatic track. Putin has reportedly pushed Bashar al-Assad to share power and agree to early elections. And in this sense, Putin's giving the West something it wants, an orderly exit for Assad, potentially. The caveat here being that Russia will have a lot of control over the transition. What do you make of this flurry of developments? It began with Assad's visit to Moscow. Putin recounting his that meeting, said he is pushing Assad to go for early elections and to share power with the opposition. What do you see happening here?
Well, it's fairly obvious that the idea of a fast Russian military intervention in Syria has proven to be a mission impossible, considering the sheer number and diversity of groups opposed to Bashar Assad. You can't defeat those groups from air. You need a comprehensive ground operation, which the Kremlin, of course, is not willing to do.
They were hoping the Iranians would provide.
Right.
That.
And, well, Putin's plan was really to provide air support to Assad's ground operations, or possibly Iran. But the Syrian government-backed
groups, I mean, yeah.
There you go. But the Syrian government's advances to Aleppo failed, and sending a sizable military contingent to Syria is fraught with all kinds of consequences, political and social, inside Russia. 50% of respondents in a recent poll said that they were concerned that Syria might be turned into Russia's next Afghanistan. Next thing we know is a paradigm shift, and Putin is now presenting himself as a peacemaker.
So this is a move of desperation, though, you see it, because the military campaign wasn't going well on the ground?
Some experts have said that, and the Kremlin is going after what some Russian politicians have called the American solution, which is negotiating with a reasonable part of the opposition. So Assad comes to Moscow for military support, but instead gets a demand for flexibility. But you know what a coalition government could mean for Assad.
Right.
Execution.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think what Moscow is offering to do here is give the West the orderly exit for Assad that they've always wanted, guarantee Assad's security. I wouldn't be surprised if Assad wasn't checking out some real estate in Moscow when he was there.
Exactly. So Putin's goal is, A, to provide safety to Assad and his family, and B, to ensure that any new government in Syria remain Moscow's ally.
Yeah, and I think that is the key as far as in Syria, because I think this goes beyond Syria, what he's trying to go for here. But in Syria, they're concerned about the disintegration of the Syrian state, because Russia's influence in Syria is very much tied to the Assad regime and to the state. Iran has influence that goes beyond the state, so to speak. And so if the state crumbled, Russia would lose its influence in Syria. Iran would not lose anything. So part of this is to shore up that. But I think this goes much beyond Syria itself. I think this has always been transactional. It's been a bid to end Russia's international isolation.
Let me ask something else. Now, what is that moderate Syrian opposition that Russia is so willing to work with? Some experts suggested, even to our program, that it could be the Free Syrian Army. But we just talked to a representative of the Free Syrian Army this morning, and he told us, his name is Yasir al-Haji, and he told us this morning that the group would reject any cooperation with Russia unless the Kremlin gave up its support for Bashar Assad. They would, you know, they want him to be excluded from any potential
Although Lavrov has been reaching out to elements in the Free Syrian Army. And I think what basically Russia's offering blackmail here. Either if you join in this peace plan with us, or we'll continue to bomb you. Right?
Because who
ask, who is the moderate opposition? In this sense, from Moscow's eyes, it's whoever is going to cooperate with Moscow, and the rest would be dubbed terrorists.
But will the West go for it? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think it's very transparent what Putin's trying to do here. From the start, this has been a transactional campaign, in my opinion. I think that Putin doesn't really care about Syria that much. What he cares about is ending Russia's international isolation, regaining that lost status as a superpower. It's the politics of blackmail. So we inject ourselves into this conflict. And now we can be constructive partners if you do what we want, if you do give us what we want, and that's what, an end to sanctions, an end to isolation, maybe a free hand in the former Soviet Union. So I think they're playing a clever and cynical game here. I don't think the West is going to go for it, although I don't rule it out. I think it's possible to split the West on this.
I agree that any diplomatic solution with Russia as a mediator would be hard to achieve. And also, you know what? Western leaders do not particularly trust either Putin or Assad.
No, of course not. Of course not. And Western leaders have never trusted Putin, but they've dealt with him in the past. And this, I don't rule it out. I definitely don't rule it out that the West, I haven't seen the signals coming out of the West, the response to this so-called peace offensive that Russia's pursuing right now. And from the Middle East, we go to the Balkans. Serbian Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić is due to visit Moscow this week. The visit comes just days. He's due to leave today. The visit comes just days after thousands of pro-Moscow demonstrators in Montenegro, neighboring Serbia, clashed with police. The protesters were calling for the resignation of Prime Minister Milo Djukanovic, who is set to lead his country into NATO. Those leading the demonstrations were, of course, pro-Moscow parties. All eyes may be on Syria, but Moscow continues its maneuvers in Europe. What do you see here?
Well, from what I understand, Serbian Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić is coming to Moscow to negotiate the sales of Russian military equipment, not just helicopters, but broadly chassis from the Kamaz truck and whatnot, to mount weapons to Serbia. So it's been long suggested that Russia has been seeing Serbia as a sort of a Trojan horse inside the European Union with its own military and economic interests in there.
Well, no, I think that's what because it's very interesting. Vučić last week said that he's told Putin in no uncertain terms that joining the EU is Serbia's strategic goal, and you don't see any pushback from Moscow on this. It's funny when you think about it. The whole Ukraine crisis precipitated by Ukraine signing a deep and comprehensive free trade agreement with the European Union. Serbia is on track, not today or tomorrow, but eventually for membership. And Moscow doesn't seem to have a problem with this, because I think this would give them a Trojan horse in there. Now, with neighboring Montenegro, where we saw some unrest this past weekend, they're about to join NATO. They're hoping to join NATO by the end of the year. Moscow would certainly like to prevent this. So I think the odds of them doing so are pretty long. But this game they're playing in the Balkans is very interesting, because with Serbia, they're trying to get a Trojan horse into the EU, which could further make the EU's chaotic decision making even more chaotic. No,
I think it's also very interesting to hear the rhetoric used by the Serbian Prime Minister, who has said that his country will not allow any sort of disruption of the balance in Europe, something that it's the language that Putin speaks.
Right. They speak the same language. And Vučić is an interesting character. He's leading Serbia into the EU, but he's pro-Moscow. I think that was in reference to Montenegro joining NATO. I think that's what that's what I interpret that as being in reference to. Anything else catch your eye? There was this bit about the fears in the Pentagon about the fiber optic, the Russians hacking their fiber optic cables.
There's been reported in the New York Times about Russian submarines and spy ships, quote, aggressively operating near the vital undersea cables that carry most of the global internet communications. And we know that Russia has been sort of exploring the idea of, an independent internet, internet without the United States. And, that probably gave some,
No, it's almost like we're back to Get Smart and we're battling chaos here, because it seems like this seems to be this policy of creating chaos.
So that'll be something to watch this week.
That's definitely something to keep an eye on. Well, that's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast here at RFRL. Joining me has been Pavel Buturin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Thanks for your thoughts, Pavel.
Thank you.
And join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.